where we get a chance to, we're missing a few. By the time I finish talking, they'll probably come rolling in. But I wanted us to take time to get some encouragement. I love what the Bible says. In Titus, we often get this passage of a good encouragement and exhortation for an exhortation as to how do we help one another in the church. And it says in Titus 2, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine, older men, and to be sober-minded, dignified, self-control, sound in faith and love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to too much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. And so today we've gathered a panel that I think helps us take what we've heard over this weekend and share with us some of their experiences. We have those that have been married for quite some time who bring a great wealth of knowledge and experiences of how God has walked them through. And those who have also have a bit of the newness and the different nuances, those who have been married with children, those who may not have had children, and other kinds of marital differences or ways to differentiate how God has blessed us all through the gift of marriage. So I'm going to have each couple introduce themselves and just say how long they've been married and who they are, and then I'll start some questions that we can give and hopefully see whether or not this is helpful. So starting with Mike and Marcia. And if you guys all want to check your microphones, see if I need to help.
It should be green.
There it is. I got it.
Got it.
Okay, Michael Davenport, good morning. And Marcia and I have been blessed to be married for 30 years. And we celebrated our 30th anniversary this past July. We did a vow renewal. It was a blessing. And I love this lady more than anyone can imagine. She has truly been a blessing to me. I've learned so much from her, how to be a husband. And you didn't ask for all that. But anyway, 30 years.
That's just the bonus.
That's it for right now. That's good enough for right now.
Okay.
I'll pass it.
I'm Doug and Jackie Husted. We've been married for 10 years.
Okay. Very good.
Jay Strickland and Denise Strickland, and we've been married for 32 good years. Actually, we've been married 33 years. That first year was terrible.
Agreed. Okay.
Kenny. Ken and Carol Schaff, we are in our 50th year of marriage.
Amen. So we have some experiences here. And so one of the things that I thought we would start light, kind of work our way into a question. So I had kind of a fun question, and I'm gonna pick each one, and then you guys just, I think we'll have a general question at the end where they can give us some words of encouragement. But the first one I have up, I have Doug and Jackie. What was the most memorable time you had away with your spouse, and why was that special for you two?
You want to go first or second? Okay, kind of thought so. One of the most memorable experiences for me was when we went on our first mission trip to Uganda. And that was just really neat for me because I got to meet a lot of her family and friends and see like what school she went to and just learn about her life and see it firsthand. So that was really nice.
Excellent. Okay. And I take it, was that your first time going to Uganda?
Yes.
Okay. And one of the ways in which is
I think the reason I'm asking some of these questions is we want to be able to get together. So one of the things we're first going to do after this is schedule a time for us to get together so that we would have these memorable times that we remember how we came together closer. And in Doug and Jackie's situation, it literally was going across the ocean and coming together at that same time. So
great.
Let's ask.
That's not mine.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's yours? Jeez. Thank you, Jackie.
No, we have different answers for everything. Iron sharpening iron. Mine was this past December, we celebrated our 10-year anniversary, and we got to go away for 2 days to a hotel in D.C., and we hadn't had a date for, like, a whole year.
Wow.
So it was, we had some family over, and they kept the kids, and we just went, and it was so cold, we could not do anything but stay in the hotel. And, you know, we couldn't avoid each other, we had to talk, and it was just what I needed. I just needed to be heard and just to hear him and just had no interruptions. So that was really good.
And you both enjoyed that time immensely.
Yes, we did.
Amen. Amen. I think sometimes we think that the memorable, you know, it's we were in the deserts or something of Madrid and all of the showmanship and things. But just getting away, just sharing time, I think, as we're couples, sometimes we forget why we, quote, fell in love and what it is that God has even shaped us over the years. And just those small times away are so memorable because they begin to help us reflect on what God has been doing, how far he's brought us. So that's great. Thank you, guys. Next question. Let's go with... I'm going to ask something from Ken and Kara. What was one of the most challenging points of your marriage, and how did you get through it?
We have two different answers. I think one of the challenges in our marriage has been my health. And right off the bat, I've had major health issues. I was hospitalized 4 times just in the last 7 months. And Ken has been the example of the servant that has been addressed. God knew what I was going to need. And it has been prayer, scripture, the words that have been sung. Thank you, Jason. If you picked out the songs, "He Will Hold Me Fast," has resonated particularly this past year. And "Behold Our God," I have gone to bed with those going through my head, and Amen. That has helped immensely.
Amen.
My story is a little longer, I think. I understand that there is such a thing called menopause that maturing women pass through. I've heard about it. But the male counterpart, of course, is a midlife crisis. And it's real. It is very real. It's very challenging. Some men get off easy. They buy a Harley Sportster, or they get a boat, or they get a new car, and they're fine. Yeah. They're good. For me, it was total destructurization, where I looked at every aspect of my life and I said, do I really want this? And this was after we were married about 22 years. I looked at my faith and I really wasn't sure I wanted it. And I looked at Carol and I thought, you know what? I'm getting bored. And my work, my career, I could let it go. And around that time, this was 27 years ago, we heard about a marriage conference coming up. And Carol says, we need to do this. Now, I'm really good at coming up with lists of reasons not to do something. And immediately I came up with a list of 5 reasons why we should not go to this marriage conference. But the arranger of our marriage in the first place also arranged that we be there. And we went. It was in a hotel over in Reston, Virginia. And you stayed at the hotel for 3 days. And you were given assignments. You heard presentations and then heard, and then were given a notebook and told to go back to your room and go through the notebook and answer these questions. And they were hard. One of the projects was to write a letter to your spouse as to what it was that attracted you to them in the first place and how you feel about them right now. And it was done with crying. There were lots of tears. It was a very, very difficult weekend. But over and over, this idea of oneness was stressed. And I don't know exactly when the light bulb went on, but sometime during that weekend, I saw it. And I fell in love with my wife again. Now, we went over there in total silence. As I said, we didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. We came home in silence, but with a lot to think about. And it was a starting point. And it was the beginning of a new love affair. And it keeps getting better and better and better. It was a weekend to remember, and I'm very grateful for it. God brought it just at the right time.
Amen. When you've gone on things like that, one of the things that's helpful, and the two of you have gone through a lot, God was at the center. I mean, this was a Christian retreat. Were there things there that, in reflecting back, you've kind of seen, wow, this is God been at work all the time?
It was a weekend of reminders. You have to understand my mindset of going into this thing. I was so turned off. I hated showing up there and seeing all these couples walking around holding hands. And we were not holding hands at all. We almost came in separate cars. We had our different ways of even getting to the hotel. And we did show up together. But it was extremely challenging. And then to hear these reminders of things that we knew all along. This was not new information. But it was hearing it from someone else, a fresh perspective, like the perspective that John has given us.
Yeah.
John raised the bar for us today.
Amen.
This weekend to a much, much higher level. I never saw marriage as servanthood as I did this weekend. So it was reminders of what we already knew, and we heard that this weekend as well. These are reminders.
Great. Amen. Thank you all. Mike and Marcia, was there ever a time when, had it not been for Christ, his words, worship, prayer, godly friends and relationships, that you don't know if the two of you would have made it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There was a time of just acting out on my part, especially, in that I didn't know how to express myself to Michael. He is very expressive. I'm not. I'm just introverted. But that introversion had its way of acting out in a very negative way, where it actually impacted his trust in me. And if it had not been for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, which actually came from a Bible study, and also just Christian counseling, good Christian counseling, I was able to have some introspection and self-examination as to my motivations. And then just knowing that he is there for me. And we were on the verge of maybe not making it, but had not it been for God, had not it been for the Holy Spirit moving and guiding, And just looking back at all the experiences that we had have and all the people that we have had in our lives, even those who were just praying for us, I don't think we would have made it. And it took that experience, though, to make what we have now even sweeter.
Yeah.
The love and the dedication and the new trustworthiness. I don't want to say it made it the experience worth it, but it made it worth it. And it was just a hard experience. It really was a hard experience because I had to confess and I had to repent. And I've had to continue to do that.
Yeah, amen.
But again, it's because of godly people. It's because of people praying for us.
Yes.
Bible study. I mean, godly women. I mean, it's just amazing that you have the people in place for you, and you may not even know it.
Yeah.
and that's what I love about God. His supernatural power is always working.
Amen.
And it's up to us just to tap into it.
Yeah.
And that is what saved us on numerous occasions.
Praise God.
I'll just say that one occasion, but that one occasion was the worst.
I just want to add to that, because I would say that I didn't necessarily see it as being on the brink of not making it. Mm-hmm. Because we did have Christ in our lives, but had we not had Christ in our lives, we would not have made it.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that for sure, because I know how I can be, and if Christ was not a part of my life, there's no way in the world, because I would have been looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been about me, and this, I'm not going to put up with that, and I'm leaving. But by having Christ in our lives, I never saw us as not making it. Yeah, it was difficult. You know, it caught us, me, by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of it all, God was glorified.
Amen.
And he won. He always wins. And
that's our prayer.
Just having faith in him. So
yeah.
So I don't know how people who don't have Christ in their lives make it through life. And
Amen.
Oftentimes they don't.
And I think what I love about, again, is we're hearing this, is there are resources there. God has not left us alone. God said he would not leave us alone. The church is not here. The idea, there's no Lone Ranger Christian. There's no Lone Ranger marriage. We've been grafted into a body. And so hearing the testimonies of just how did God, I love this. How does a father pursue you when you don't even know that you need the help and that he's going to orchestrate things? Maybe it's a conference. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's another couple. You don't even know how he's going to do it. But you're relying on him to work through it. So there's a third person in that relationship, which is vital. The Spirit of God that you rely upon when you don't know anything else to do and how he rewards. Praise God. Jay and Denise, we're trying to understand this communication thing, and we know you guys got it right.
Since we're talking about communication, I'm going to let her talk.
But I've got to ask, you have been married now for 33 years. How has it changed from when you were married, not counting the first year, but including the first? How has communication changed such that what happened 33 years ago, today, you kind of even laugh at and just watch? How has God changed you all over the years in bringing communications different and bringing you to oneness?
For me, I tell everybody, Denise has had two husbands. I was both of those. Her first husband didn't like to communicate very well. And I was kind of closed. And I can remember her telling me one time, she said, we just need to, communicate. And she wanted, she said, I just want you to cherish me. I didn't even know what cherish meant, you know, so I couldn't do something. I didn't know what it was. And we had times that we struggled, and just as we shared earlier, our first year was tough. So we were fortunate. The Lord, when I met Denise, she wasn't a Christian, and but I knew that I couldn't marry somebody that wasn't a Christian, and that was the one thing that I had heard when I was a kid. A lot of people didn't realize that I had heard anything of the teaching, but that's the one thing that stuck in my head. So when I met Denise, she accepted Christ through a process, and but if we didn't, if I hadn't stuck to that one thing, we wouldn't be here today. I do know that. And but again, since her first husband was kind of hard-headed, he just I had to allow the Lord to change my heart, and because I was trying to change her, she was trying to change me, and that wasn't working. The Lord had to change my heart in order for me to love and cherish her. And I can say that today, that I love and cherish her more than anything else. And it's a process. I mean, we have good days and you have bad days. And so we've been blessed, but it's only through God's grace that has brought me to where I am today. So.
Amen.
Well, I would just say, John, thank you so much. We've learned so much. Amen. And Jay and I had the discussion last week about how marriage is just like sanctification. It is an ongoing process, and we are still learning every day. So we appreciate everything that you've taught us. But I think with communication, I think it's key is to know when to seek wise counsel, because sometimes you butt heads and there is no room for movement, and you really do need wise counsel. And so we sought the counsel of our pastor at our church then, and I'll never forget, we sat in front of him and he said, "Let me tell you what the problem is." And I, you know, I was kind of holding onto my seat, and he looked at me and he said, "Denise," he said, "you're very selfish." And I thought, wow, I mean, I had a big lump in my throat, and I said, "Okay, isn't this like the time when he's going to talk to Jay?" You know? And he looked at Jay and he said, "Jay," he said, "and the problem with you is you're very selfish." He said, "We're going to start with that. How do you all feel now?" Awful. It's very humbling to hear that, but it was so true. Because like Jay said, I went into marriage with this fantasy, like you mentioned. You know, I'm going to marry Jay, and he's going to meet all my needs, and we're going to live happily ever after. And it was such a rude awakening to realize, you know what? That's why the first year was so bad, because I kept trying to make him the person I wanted him to be. Yeah. And he kept trying to make me the person he wanted me to be. And God had other plans. So I think I would say making sure that you're not too proud to know when you need to seek counsel. Okay. And so that's what we did. And we looked at our marriage and love for each other in a completely different light. You know, not what can you do for me? It's what can we do to honor and glorify God with our marriage. And really, the closer you are to God, the closer you are with each other.
Amen. Amen. Did you guys find that as the years, or were there just a kind of encouraging words that might help us understand something that may have not gone the right way year two, that either by year 33, it's God has kind of shaped us to, I know you're, like John was saying, as soon as you walk in the house, I don't even have to say anything. There's something there that communicates. You notice anything like that over the course of 33 years?
I just tell her she's overreacting and get over it.
And all of you all that know Jay know that's not true.
You know, for one thing now, we actually even work together every day. And a lot of people say, well, how do you do that? Because we respect each other, and I appreciate what she, because when the Bible talks about two shall become one, and if you truly become one, you don't want to be separated.
Yeah.
And I appreciate those times. However, there are times that I don't appreciate her pointing out a flaw that I may have. But when I look back and say, how would God look at that? You know, and it does help me. And again, it's only because God has been able to show me the grace that he's given me so I can appreciate that more. And sometimes you don't appreciate something until you don't have it. And so that's my prayer, is that each one of us can continue to seek God's will in our hearts and not just allow my pride to get in the way, because that was the problem with her first husband.
All right. Okay. Let's see, what are we doing on time? I think we're out of time. Well, guys, thank you so much for sharing. I know there's a lot. One of the things that we're thankful, we didn't have to bring them in from the outside as experts in marriage. They're right in our midst. And there's more, because we've been blessed with a wealth of godly men and women who treasure Christ and treasure Him together as husband and wife. So as this week has started, this weekend started out with us finding ways in which we could be one. We've been giving you tools by which both we can go to, most importantly, the scriptures, and how we can encourage one another. We can find guidance through God's word to seek oneness and coming together. We've also added some books that you have that are still up in our bookstall that will, again, work towards bringing you together. We've had a panel up here that's just expressed a fraction. I can't even say a fraction. Some little iota of their experiences, and they're loaded with wealth of experiences. And as you see, in so many different scenarios and situations, we're a blessed body to have that wealth of experience in Christ to help us and to grow us and build us and edify us up one to another. So take advantage of that. And lastly, we have, if you come up afterwards, I think we'll have them up here. There's these guides that's called a weekend retreat, do-it-yourself marriage retreat. And they're set up so that you can do, like Doug and Jackie, for instance, take a trip, little two-day trip, could be in the district, could be somewhere close by, but where you can get away and just go through like a weekend retreat. But there's questions here that help you map out where you are in your relationship and give you a time where you can just start to evaluate and start to look through, where might we need assistance? Where might we need counseling? Where is there someone who might be able to come alongside of us and help us during a difficult time? But we first have to kind of take an inventory, or even see, how well do we even know one another? And so this is a very useful tool. We hope you take advantage of it, and that, again, it's up here. We can talk a bit more. You see any of us, Pastor Zach, myself, afterwards, and we can go through any of the details that you may have questions about. So that's just another resource and another tool for you. And I think this weekend has been one of those filled with a joy and a sense of accomplishment, not because we've done great things, but God has been great to us. And so by His grace, we've been able to have John come through and share with us. John, thank you so much. Amen. We've had a wonderful panel here. Thank you all so much for taking the time and sharing with us. So please give them a round. Pastor Zach, you are God's instrument, and you have been so instrumental in helping to continue to edify and keep us grounded. Thank you for this idea, and thank you for helping bring all of this together. And brother, as I will echo with everyone else, you are such a blessing, and thank you for all that you do. And finally, for those who are about to go get those kiddos, when you go back and get your kids, say thank you, workers, and those who have sacrificed their time in order to take care of our kids. They have done a wonderful job and kept us so that we could focus on today. So let me close us in prayer, and let us get on with the day. Okay. Pardon me? Oh, the breakfast people. Thank you, honey.
All right. So, and Dave and the sound crew, thank you all. We are looking forward. Yes. We are looking forward to what will be one of the most downloaded podcasts and MP3s on our site. So thank you guys again. And everyone else who has been involved, if I didn't catch you, thank you all. And all of you who have attended for 2 days, thank you for being here. Let me close. Gracious Lord, how we thank you for how you have blessed us, how you have kept us. Father, we thank you that you are the God who pursues us, the one who loves us, the one who cleanses and sanctifies, makes us new in Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that you did see that it was not good that we were to be alone, but that, Father, you found a suitable helpmate for each and every one of us. What we have in our spouse is a blessing from you and you alone. And we're just so thankful, Lord, that you have been able to use us to sharpen one another, even as we have learned today, in areas where we probably didn't desire to be sharpened. But, Lord, you saw to it that nothing would go unnoticed before you, and how you have used our spouse so that we can look at ourselves and say, Father, what must I do to change? So, Father, I pray that as we leave here today, that you would continue to melt our hearts to you, that you would continue to allow us to show affection to our spouse, compassion, and Lord, that it would not just go to them alone, but that is the conference, that it would be for them first. But Father, that we would continue to reflect your glory in all of our relationships, both in the church and in the community, wherever we go. May we consider what we learned today in ways in which you seek to be glorified in everything. And so, Father, thank you. Thank you for John. Thank you for Zach. Thank you for all of those who we've already said, Father, for how they have helped and encouraged, continue to preach the word diligently so that we might be filled up with your grace. And so now, Father, as we leave, would you guide us home? Would you keep us? Would you allow us to even come back tomorrow, Lord, so that we could worship you, praise you, and once again seek your guiding word to instruct us and carry us into a new week, that we may glorify you through the spreading of the gospel of our great and awesome Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.